Kalaya Ayo di chale tritavan Asi vedam Vihita vahitra charitram Akhetam Keshavadrita Vina sharira Jaya Jagadisha Hare Habipulatare Dishati Tava Prishe Aradidorana Kina Chakra Karishe Keshavadrita Kurma Sharira Jagadisha Hare Vasati Nasana Chikare Arani Tava
Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama,
Hare Rama, Rama Rama,
Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Rama Rama, Krishna Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Rama Rama,
list of them, of 25. given in the second canto, 7th chapter, by Brahma himself to Narada Muni. So 25. In the first canto, 22 is the least given. This is mixed avatars. As you heard, Shaktyavesha were not all Vishnu Tattva, but especially empowered with Vishnu's powers. Then some of them are Amsha, that means Vishnu, it's specifically empowered with certain mission, and others like Parushuram, Rishabhadev, and the Leela avatars like Matsya, Kurma, Varaha, Nisinga, Vamana, like that, Balaram. They are the main Leela avatars, typical Leela avatars, Vishnu Tattva, full Vishnu Tattva. And then there are the Yuga avatars. Yuga avatars are appearing in different yugas, Hamsa, Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Yagya. And in Dwapara Yuga is Krishna, Balaram, and in Kali Yuga, no avatar normally, but in one day of Brahma, there is one avatar coming in hidden form and as a devotee, and this we all know is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gauranga. He's very merciful. He's considered most merciful of all incarnations because he gives Krishna Prema to all. All other avatars, they brought some weapons with them. But Lord Chaitanya's weapon was only Harinam, his devotees, his sweetness, his love. And in this way he mesmerized and attracted everyone in this world, in Kali Yuga. Otherwise there's no chance. And Advaita Acharya called Lord Chaitanya. Yesterday I mentioned him. So Lord Chaitanya asked him, what you want? What is your desire? Advaita Acharya told, I want that you will spread Krishna consciousness equally to everyone. Not only to the qualified one, also to the unqualified ones. Don't kill them. Then Lord Chaitanya said, so be it. What else you like? And the second desire, that's already natural desire. It's my mission this time, or my plan. So what is your other desire? That those who are envious against you and the devotees especially, they should be bereft of that. So those Advaita Acharya's desire and Lord Chaitanya fulfilled that. Advaita Acharya, actually before he called Lord Chaitanya, he told, if I'm not able to call him down and he will not appear, then I will personally call the Sudarshan Chakra and they do the work of Vishnu and kill everyone. So, but that was not Lord Chaitanya's plan or Krishna Radha and Krishna's plan. So because this time they come and they mercifully give the holy name with the Prema together. So, but that's not the topic for now. It's only the Yuga Avatar. Yuga Avatars are mostly also part of the all Vishnu Tattva, and they also belong to the different sections of the avatars mentioned here, like Amsa and Varaha, Amsa and Yagya, like that. And Krishna, anyway, and Balaram, there in the Leela avatar, also functioning as Leela avatars. Although they are the origin of all avatars. So the first one in the list that Brahma is mentioning is Varahadev. They are not chronological, this list. He says they're all in my heart. And if they're all avatars in the heart, you know, that means he speaks spontaneously about each and everyone according to his feeling to one and how they appear in his heart. That's the transcendental way. If you have pure mind, and other avatars appearing in your heart. Like when Gokumar went to Tapaloka, he met the Kumaras. And he actually was searching after where is the Lord of my heart, where is the Lord of my mantra. So there he was very amazed, you know, that the devotees there, the sages, they were not worshipping a Lord in the form, externally. And he was always looking after the Lord externally, to see him and to speak with him and to serve him, you know, and play with him. And these sages noticed that and they told him, what do you actually want, my dear cowherd boy? Why you don't become like us, you know, like us sages? Because they have the Lord, you're looking for the Lord for somewhere, you always want to go somewhere, but we don't go anywhere because the Lord is always with us, is within. We always see him. And you should learn this technique in order to see the Lord within. And then something very amazing happened to convince this Gop Kumar. Suddenly, Gop Kumar saw that how out of the four Kumaras suddenly different incarnations appeared. Varaha, Nisingha, Vamana. They manifested from their own mind and made it visible. And then they told him, you see, the avatars are here. Krishna is in your meditation, it's in your pure mind. Of course, Gop Kumar, he was not satisfied with that solution, but with that process of meditation, because he wanted to really serve the Lord with his external senses and see him with all his senses, not only inside, outside especially also. Inside is good, but here is Singo, Ridaye is Singo. Singadeva is outside and inside. Bahir Nisinga means outside. Bahir, everywhere is Nisinga. And Ridaya Nisinga is in your heart also. He's how Prabhupada Maharaj sings. So Gop Kumar, therefore, ultimately, his urge of mantra, he had the Gopal mantra, it forced him to go further, to leave Tapaloka, because he got the darshan of Shiva and got further instructions to go further to Vaikuntha. Then ultimately he reached Goloka Vrindavan, where he finally met Gopal, the Lord of his heart. And the Lord came and embraced him like a friend, coming back from the pasturing ground, from the forest, with his friends together. So that means Brahma, he had his incarnations in the heart, and he witnessed these different incarnations personally from different days of his life, where they appear, because these incarnations, they appear in every day of Brahma. In every day of Brahma, this set of incarnations appears. And here mentions first Vamana, Varaha. Now Brahma said, when the unlimitedly powerful Lord assumed the form of a boar as a pastime, just to leave the planet Earth, which was drowned in the great ocean of the universe, Garbhodaka, the first demon, Hiranyaksha, appeared. And the Lord pierced him with his tusk, just as Indra pierces a mountain with his thunderbolt. Because previously the mountains had wings, and they created a disturbance in the world, you know, because whenever a mountain lands somewhere, you know, there was no, like airplanes, they have a peace, you know, where they land, you know, but they just land somewhere, wherever they like, even on your head. That was a great disturbance, so Indra thought, we have to do something. And he has his thunderbolt weapon, he cut off all the wings of the mountains. And for nowadays, no more flying mountains. Were flying around. So the Indra cut off their wings, the wings to fly. So similarly, Baradev appeared and piercing and smashing the body, who was a boulder-like, mountain-like, like Hiranyaksha body. Vasati dashana shikare tarani tabalakna shashi kalanka kaleva nimagna Keshava trita shukara rupa chai chakadisha hare. O Keshava, O Supreme Lord, who has assumed the form of a boar, O Lord, the planet Earth rested on your tusks and it appeared like the moon and craved with spots. This verse poetically says, it's from Laku Bhagavatamrita by Rupa Goswami. This verse poetically says that the Lord assumed the form of Varaha, but in fact the form of Varaha exists eternally. And this avatar is simply the occasion of revealing that form at a certain time and place in the material creation. Sometimes we have the opinion that the Lord accepts that form, but in the spiritual world he has not this form. He has not a boar form, he has not a vamana form, he has not a fish form, no. Even in the spiritual world, this form is existing. That shows the form of the Lord is eternal. All these avatars are eternal. It's not that the Lord has to assume this body made of the material elements to perform this mission. He has this form already, because all forms of the world who are existing are in the Lord. So that means this, the Lord can is eternally manifested in different forms to reveal himself to a certain devotee and for a certain pastime in this world. Sometimes people think, oh, but how we can believe that? This is mythology. How God can appear as a fish or as a boar, for example. Yeah, Varaha means a boar. But it's also very interesting because Hiranyaksha, he was a Rakshasa, he was a demon. They got many blessings. They thought, oh, don't want to become killed. Like Hiranyakashipu, not become killed by a human being, not by an animal, not by a demon, not by a Rakshasa, not by any forces, you know. They thought. But he didn't believe that the Lord can come, you know, as a boar. Therefore, he even laughed, and he saw the Lord that a boar suddenly appears before him, you know, ready to fight with him. He laughed. Oh, what kind of entity you are! You are a forest animal, a vanara. What you are doing here? You want to fight with me? You don't know who I am? I'm Hiranyaksha. I'm a very. I have power like a boulder, like a mountain. And you're just an animal from the forest. So he completely underestimated him. Like always, one underestimates the Lord's form, in any form, and think, oh, he's so small, he's so big, he's an animal, he's a dwarf, he comes as a little child of the son of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda or Devaki. But he has always the Lord with the full power. Therefore, here it is stated that this Lord, this form is eternal. In Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita mentions the presence of Varaha in the first layer shore above Satyaloka. Above Satyaloka, there are seven layers who are circulating, the borders of the material to the spiritual world. That means we have to go through seven layers. And the first layer is Pu, the layer of earth, in subtle form. And in that layer, there's Bhumi, the goddess, residing. And Varaha is there, because Bhumi, the earth, is always related with the poor incarnation of the Lord. Poor have very good nose, smelling earth. That's before they're going on the fields, you know, to with their husk, you know, to take earth out. And they like to smell this earth because the Bhumi and the Varaha is very much related with each other. Because she is actually the worshipping Lord Varaha. She's a devotee of Lord Varaha. In Chaitanya Leela also, Lord Chaitanya manifested Varaha Dev in Navadvip. Navadvip name is... what's the name again? Karangapriya, you remember? Navadvip name? Nobody of you? The ancient name? Maybe I remember later. No, not. So anyway, Lord Chaitanya appeared as Varaha in a devotee's house, Murari Gupta's house, you know, and he lifted the water pot. And he told, I'm Varaha, I'm the Lord, Shukara, Shukara, I'm him, worship me. And he told him an old story, you know, how he actually helped the earth, saved the earth from her difficulties, now falling down to the Patala local system. So Lord Chaitanya actually is also avatari. He revealed all the different Vishnu forms, different of his devotees. Varaha is very much associated with this one island of Navadvip. So Priya Bhagavatamrita mentions that the Lord is there, with Bhumi, worships him, with super worldly opulence. In the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Maitreya tells Vidura about the avatars of Varaha, about the avatar of Varaha. And in the fifth canto, Shukadev describes Bhumi Devi worshipping Lord Varaha in Uttarakuru Varsha of Jambudvip. So all these avatars, they're also situated in different Varshas all over the material world of Bhumandala, who has 9 different islands. He appeared twice in the day of Brahma. He's one of the avatars who not only comes once in the day of Brahma, but 2 times. First, he came during the reign of Svayambhuv Manu. That means the first Manu is Svayambhuv, from the breathing of Lord Brahma. So from his nose appeared in a small form, a small boar who became bigger and bigger and bigger. And that boar had a reddish complexion, I think. Then the supreme among tusked beasts came again during the reign of Chakshusa Manu, appearing from the universal waters to kill Hiranyaksha by lifting up the earth. Shivaraha has 4 legs, but sometimes he is conceived of as a half man and half boar. Varaha. Naravaraha. In Navadvip you also see Mayapur somewhere. You see this form of Nisingadeva, of Varaha, actually Mayapur. Varaha with a poor form, and like a human being. So sometimes he's white and sometimes he's red. And when he is white, he's Sveta Varaha. And when he is red, he's Adivaraha. These are the 2 forms. Maitreya Muni, he combined these 2 stories of the 2 manvantars of avatar of Varaha, but actually they appeared in two different ages of manvantars. So Varaha is not always killing Hiranyakashipu. Only in the fourth manvantar he killed, in the sixth manvantar, Chakshusha manvantar, he killed Hiranyaksha. And in the first Svayambhuv Manu age, he just kept the earth, took the earth out of the devastation ocean. Sometimes his dark blue like a rain cloud. Sometimes he's described red, but he's actually blue like a rain cloud, nila. And sometimes he is white like the moon, described as having both these colors by the scriptures. He is the fast form of who embodies the Vedic sacrifice. That means from his pores and hairs on his body, the Vedic sacrifices became manifested. Adivaraha is an incarnation in the Svayambhuv Manvantara, and he has a blue complexion. And in the Chakshusha, he has a white complexion. Actually, both of these forms are in Mathura. I want to show you a picture. In Mathura, this is Adi. You can see him? Adivaraha. He's a very ancient. Very ancient Varaha form, worshipped since long time in Mathura. And the other one is Sveta, the white one. Also practically these two temples are near to each other. White one. Sveta. Sveta means white. White Varaha. So then the next avatar, you have some question about this avatar? Varaha?
So I don't understand. They come twice in one day of Brahma.
Huh?
Because
in one day of Brahma has 14 manus. And he comes in two manus, in the first one and in the sixth one.
Okay, and then in next cyclus.
And in the next cyclus of the next day of Brahma, he comes again.
And again, pick up.
Yeah, again. The avatars, they come again and again, every day of Brahma.
And again, he will kill Hiranyaksha.
Yeah, why not? It's Lila. Therefore, he's Lila Avatar. It's boring for you, huh? I always the same demon, you know? We also do so many times the same thing, but we always like it because it's rasa there, not? We always chant the same mantra, why? Can change. Huh? Om Shivaya Namaha, or I don't know what mantras we have. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So as to get some change. So why we only chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra? Why you always associate with the same persons? And why you not associate with other persons? And always the same ones also. That means the Lord is also a person, you know? So he has also his likes, and those were not. But you know, in the case of Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, you know, they were Vaikuntha gatekeepers, chokidars, in the spiritual world, in the seventh gate. actually the first gate from our seventh, that means the external, the first gate from, and there are seven gates you go in. So and then the four Kumaras became stopped there. And then because they wondered why naked boys come here to Vaikuntha, we never have seen. What you're doing here? Go home. Go to your papa, mama. Don't come like that to the Vaikunthas, you know, naked. Here is everyone civilized. Svarup, you know. Everyone is in the proper mood, you know, but you don't seem like that. So they became, the four Kumaras became upset because they were sages. Although they're young and always looking like Kumara, 5-6 year old boys, they're the oldest in the creation. So then they cursed these gatekeepers. They thought, you don't deserve to stay here in Vaikuntha in this important position here as a servant of Narayana, because here in the Vaikuntha is no envy, is no duality, seeing good and bad, enemy and friend, likes and dislikes. So why you don't like us? So that means you don't deserve here. Go away here. And somehow Lord Narayana appeared and they told, okay, you are sages, you are brahmanas, I accepting this fault of my servants as my fault. And let it be like that. I can have the choice. Three times demigod, demons, or seven times demigod. And so then they choose three times demon. Because then they could be faster back to their Lord in service. And that's why the Lord accepted that. He could counteract that curse. Easy. For Lord Narayana. But he accepted it because it was his plan. I also will come with you. But you play demon, I'm the Lord and I will kill you, and then you come back after it. So why Narayana has to do that? Because in Vaikuntha he has no equal with whom he can fight. Therefore he has to empower somebody of his own associates to come down and not to fight with him. Who in the world can fight him with the supreme power? It's no match for him. It's boring. It's insignificant because his whole material creation, this insignificant power, the spiritual power. So therefore the demon who appears with whom the Lord wants to fight, you know, it must be especially powerful. But in Kali Yuga are not such demons. They're all tiny demons, therefore the Lord doesn't have to come with the weapons to kill them. There's no need. You know, he just comes with the Sankirtan, with the holy name, for spreading the holy name and giving this love and this opportunity to hear and to chant in the association of devotees, and this way become liberated, even unknowingly. Even they don't notice it will happen. It will happen. Purification is taking place without chakra. Previous time, the Lord had to take a chakra to cut off a demon's head or kill him. But as Lord Chaitanya not. So the Lord therefore accepted this opportunity as an opportunity for his Leela. Therefore it's Leela. That's Leela avatar. And why this Leela, now maybe we ask why this Leela avatar is actually appearing like that? What is the need? Why they have to come to the material world? Is it boring in the spiritual world? No. He has enough to do there, but he also likes sometimes to show and these leelas to the material world, so that we understand there is some higher goal of life, purpose of life, to teach the living entities. Therefore the Puranas, they're giving us the history, they're giving us this information, so that we can become attracted to this kind of information, not to the news in the newspapers and in novel books and in histories of mundane history. Or anyway, also questionable. Yeah, maybe both Puranas in question, but even our last 2-3 thousand year of history is a question. It's not many things not clear. Even the last 50 years is so many things not clear. It's not clarified what actually is true and what is not true. Even in our own time, so many things is not clear. So therefore, what is the greatest authority? Although we don't want to believe in or accept it, are the Vedic scriptures, are the Puranas. Especially Kali Yuga, the Puranas, they are the most important books for the people to read, because we like history. We like to have some sensation. If everything is only love story, many people maybe will not feel attracted. So, but when they hear that there's also fighting going on, astral fights and universal, the powers of good and bad, you know, are fighting with each other. And today it's also going on in the cinema, made in Hollywood and Bollywood. This is still going on. And from where they get these ideas from? From the Puranas. It's just adopted, you know. But with mundane figures. Not attractive for us devotees, because devotees like to have the adventure and these fights between God and he appears, you know, and at his devotees and with the asuras. That's very nice. Some may say, oh, it's boring, because we always know already who wins. We already know who wins. No, it's not God who will lose. But it's actually not, you know, in Srimad Bhagavatam only gives a little information about this fight between Varaha and Hiranyaksha or Nrisingadeva and Hiranyakashipu, and also with other demons, with other avatars. But actually these fights went much, much longer. And there was, and sometimes, and even look, the demon kills the Lord. And then the demigods, they cry from above, you know. Lord, oh Lord, don't let yourself become defeated, you know. Don't make it so spannend, I'm saying. So sensational, you know, that we practically breaks our heart when we see what is going on, what this demon is doing with you. And blood is even coming out from your body, you know. And you seem to be very exhausted. And then when the Lord hears the prayers of his devotees, you know, then he says, okay, making short process, and then boom. Because he doesn't want to see his devotees in anxiety. So that's the nice thing. And like in the films also, we pray sometimes, but then still it doesn't happen. Because they're not God then, you know. And sometimes even the Superman dies. And then they hear even the Superman who actually never died in the scream, you know, he died in slipping on a banana peel. Finish, you know. We have an eternal subject matter, you know, to speak. Yeah, because we are the Avatar fan club, no? Yesterday we created a new fan club. Abhimanyu. You joined first time today. So yesterday we created this Avatar fan club for Avatar Katha. It's interesting for you? Huh?
I'm here.
Some information who is new? Ah, okay. Yeah, great book. Huh?
Yeah.
Good, then we go to Yagya Avatar. It's maybe not so much known to you. That's the second in appearing in Brahma's mind, coming from his heart to his mind. That's Yagya Avatar. Yagya is another name, Hari. Sounds familiar to you? Hari? What Lord Chaitanya was calling? Hari, Hari! Hari, Bol! That's Yagya Avatar, Hari. He's situated in Mayapur. Because the different Vishnumurtis are spread in Bhu Mandala. And one of it is situated in Hari. It is in Mayapur. So the worshipable Lord in Mayapur is Hari. And because Hari appeared in the Kali Yuga as a Yuga avatar, therefore, and he has a golden complexion, is called Gora Hari. The golden Hari. Interesting, you know it? Interesting information. Lord Chaitanya in his teachings, he narrated this to Sanatana Goswami in teaching of Lord Chaitanya. You can read this if you don't believe me. So it's Hari. Hari is worshipped in Mayapur. Gora Hari. So Prajapati Ruchi. Begat Suyagya. Suyagya means the Lord. His name was Suyagya. Later on known also Yagya or Hari. In the womb of his wife Akuti. Suyagya begat Devas headed by Suyama. In the womb of his wife Dakshina. Suyagya means Yagya, who became the next Indra. Because sometimes there is not an Indra available to take the post of Indra. Normally a Jiva, who is especially pious and qualified, takes the position of Indra in the different Manvantara. But this time there was a lack of Indra, of an Indra, and therefore Vishnu himself, Yagya, accepted that post of Indra. So he became the next Indra, diminished the very great miseries in the three plant resistance, upper, lower, and intermediate. And because he is so diminished, the miseries of the universe, he was later called Hari by the great father of mankind, Svayambhuv Manu. Hari. Because Hari means also he who takes away the misery. It's the Lord. Therefore, he is known as Hari. In the sixth canto, it is in the prayer for Yagya, for Yagya's given, may Yagya protect me from the defamation and harm from the populace. That means from people from outside. Any question about Yagya? Hari?
What is the form of this Yagya?
How he looks?
Yeah.
I have here a picture. It's a picture I found of Yagya or Hari.
Wait, just see it.
Paparazzi, you have to be fast. You said, yeah, so I noticed before you. Thank you. can understand Brahma's position, no? He's above us, you know? He sees everything before we see it. Therefore, we have to hear from him, you know? He is the only source who can give us information through Narad Muni, who is broadcasting it like a postman, you know, all over the universe. Clear? Yakya? Kapila Dev, you all know. The third one, the least. It's actually Shakti Avesh. The Lord appeared as Kapila incarnation, being the son of Prajapati, Brahmana, Kardama, Muni, and his wife Devahuti, along with nine other women, I mean sisters. He spoke to his mother about self-realization, the Sankhya philosophy, by which in that very lifetime she became fully cleansed of the mud of material modes of, and thereby achieved liberation and followed the path of Kapila. This is Kapila Dev, he's a sage. Appeared as a sage. Hey, Param, you see? Very beautiful picture of. Why don't come more near with the chair? Because if you want to belong to the Avatar Club, you have to sit more near here around. Come, don't hesitate. So he teaches the Sankhya philosophy, that means the scientific process of how the universe is compiled of 24 elements. There's also an atheistic Kapila Dev who appeared, as we heard. And that Kapila Dev, who is an atheist, who is actually not a Dev, is only known as Kapila, not Deva. So therefore we distinguish Kapila the atheist and Kapila the son, Dev, the son of Devahuti and Kardama Muni. That's the two different personalities. Both had a both teach Sankhya. But the one teach atheistic Sankhya, only 24 elements without Atma and Paramatma. Atma and Paramatma, the whole universe, how it is related and alive by the presence of Paramatma and Atma, is only teach by the divine Sankhya philosophy of Kapila Dev. Therefore, Sankhya means counting. It's actually a science. Actually, it's my favorite chapters I like to read always about Kapila Dev is Sankhya philosophy. Because he teaches there very all these elements of bhakti, very scientifically the process of bhakti. He's teaching to his mother Devahuti to enlighten her, and through her to enlighten also us, to give us the opportunity to understand that this universe is not just purposeless. It has all a relation to the Atma, Supreme Atma. And that our goal is, our purpose is to engage in devotional service and to use this material energy in the service of the Lord and gradually become detached from it, from these material elements, and purely become attached to the pure devotional service, transcendental loving devotional service to the lotus feet of the Lord. Only that will ultimately lead to the liberation, and that is the path that Kapila Dev was showing or teaching to this world through Devahuti. Question about that? So, yes, we have still a little time. Amazing. Dattatreya, the fourth one. Dattatreya, also not so famous one. He was actually a mystic. Mystic. Maybe interesting for some of you. Mystic yogi. Many mystic powers. So the story goes like that in short. Of course, Brahma only gives summary, you know, to give a little detail about it. When the great sage Atrimuni prayed for an offspring, and the Lord, being satisfied with him, promised to incarnate as Atri's son. Therefore, he is known as Dattatreya. By the grace of the lotus feet of the Lord, many Yadus, Haihayas, etc. became so purified that they obtained both material and spiritual blessings. Having given a benediction to Anasuya, Lord Vishnu, who contains all the universes within himself, became the son of Atri in her womb. Appearing in human form by his sweet will, known as Dattatreya, he was adorned with the dress of a sannyasi, that means a renunciate dress. That's quoted from Laghu Bhagavatamrita by Rupa Goswami. The Lord, pleased with Atri's penance, with the desire to receive a son, said, "I have given myself to you." Thus he was called Datta, son of Atri, Atreya. Those purified by the dust of Dattatreya's feet, such as Yadu and Haihaya, attained perfection of yoga for enjoyment and liberation, ultimate liberation. The fourth canto, the story is narrated in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, first chapter, text 15 to 33. There it recounts that Atri and Anasuya obtained Lord Dattatreya as their son, along with his brothers Soma and Durvasa. Soma is moon god incarnation and Durvasa from Shiva, Dattatreya from Vishnu. Anasuya, the wife of Atri, gave birth to three very famous sons, Soma, Dattatreya and Durvasa, whom later on became known as Durvasa Muni, who were partial representations of Vishnu, Shiva, means Rudra, and Brahma. Now, Soma was a partial representation of Lord Brahma, not moon god, Brahma. Dattatreya was a partial representation of Lord Vishnu, and Durvasa a partial representation of Rudra. So why all three of these forms appeared? Because he worshipped all three of them. Because he didn't know who is the Lord. And so all three appeared to him and decided, we will appear, and as three, all three of us will appear and become your sons. Krishna narrates to Uddhava how King Yadu met an Avadhuta in the 11th canto, 7th chapter. And to the 9th chapter, the Avadhuta speaks about his self-realization. King Yadu asked Avadhuta Dattatreya, "O Brahmana, we see that you are devoid of any contact with material enjoyment and that you are traveling alone without any companions. Therefore, because we are sincerely inquiring from you, please tell us the cause of the great ecstasy that you are feeling within yourself." Question about that? From Dattatreya? Soma is not moon god, it's Brahma. You have to correct that. So maybe we stop here. One more. Four Kumaras. Other name of the four Kumaras is Sana Kumaras. You know why? Sana Kumara. Because one is Sanatana, other man is Sanaka, another man is Sanandana, and another man is Sanat. Sanatana, Sanandana, Sanat. So everything is, all the names start with Sana. Therefore they're called Sana Kumaras. The four Sanas. Like the five sons of Nanda are the Nanda sons, the Nanda brothers, all Nanda. Nanda, Nandana, Sunandana, Abhinandana, like that. Then the five Rishabhanu brothers, Rishabhanu, Rishabhanu, like that. Five. Subhanu and Ratnabhanu and Chandrabhanu, of course. Five Bhanu. Therefore we speak about the five Bhanus and the five Nandas and the four Sanas. So to create different plant resistance, I had to undergo tapasya, austerities and penance, and the Lord thus being pleased with me, incarnated in four Sanas, Sanaka, Sanandana, Sanatana, and Sanat Kumar. In the previous creation, the spiritual truth was devastated, but the four Sanas explained it so nicely that the truth at once became clearly perceived by the sages. So they are actually Jnanis. And Jnanis, they're renunciates. They're not interested in material enjoyment. And their father, who created the four sons as the first creatures in Brahma's day of life, he ordered them, now you should go out, become Grihasthas, or perform tapasya, become Brahmachari for a certain time to become able to become Grihastha. But then they refused. They refused the order of Brahma. And Prabhupada mentions in the purport, that's the only thing that a disciple can refuse from the Guru's order, is if Guru tells you, marry, then you can refuse to say no. But otherwise, you can never say no to the Guru. That's the only time when you can say no, when the Guru tells you you should marry. And you are maybe don't want to marry. Then you can say no. Otherwise, one should not say no. You should always say yes. Yes, I will accept. It's nothing impossible. Everything is possible. The word impossible is only in Fool's Dictionary. So, but therefore the four Kumaras had this free will. So they say, we don't want to marry, sorry. But Brahma, he got very upset, he got angry, because his family plan became disturbed. And from that anger between his two eyebrows, Rudra appeared. That's the birth of Rudra, Shiva. Therefore he is in angry mood. And the four Kumaras, he wanted to destroy the universe. And the four Kumaras wanted to spread this knowledge of Brahma-jnana, of transcendental knowledge. But later on they became curious about the origin of Brahma. They wanted to really understand that in a scientific way, jnani way, because jnani means Brahmanandi. Brahmavada, they go the way of Brahman by self-realization. And ultimately they came to Vaikuntha to find out, is this Lord Narayana the origin of Brahman virtually, really existing? And then got the darshan of Lord Narayana, and when they smelled the tulsi manjaris from the Lord's lotus feet and from his garland, their minds became completely changed and they became Vaishnavas. And therefore they also created their own Vaishnava Sampradaya, the Kumara Sampradaya, Vrindavan, very famous today as Nimbarka Sampradaya. Vanka Bihari, Radha Vanka Bihari, is in the line of the Kumara Nimbarka Sampradaya. Like our line is Brahma, coming from Brahma, Narada, Gaudiya, Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. They teach also Bhagavata philosophy, the pure devotional service, and also knowledge about what is spiritual, what is Atma, what is material, what is our relationship. That's all in their teachings. They're very kind, therefore they're also preaching, they're also teaching this process of Vedic knowledge to the sages and those who are interested to become sage. Any question about that? Okay, then we can start tomorrow. Tomorrow we start then with the number 6, Nara Narayana. It's very interesting, also one of my favorite. It's a very nice story. Hare Krishna. You have a question? Wait. It's not the time now.